Ouch. Ouch. It's betrayal. Betrayal on the largest scale, penetrating the deepest depth. When a spouse cheats in a marriage, it wounds the victim so much more than when her best friend tells some secret to the sixth grade class that makes her run to the bathroom without the teacher's permission. That's betrayal right there, from a trusted friend. But adultery makes that seem like some playground argument, because there really is no stab more gut-wrenching than in this most intimate relationship with this person, the one whom you literally took a vow in front of God, relatives, and friends for. This was your person, your forever person, except he was not all in on that vow. Does it sound familiar? This week, let's talk about cheating and adultery. From my memoir and the subsequent journal that accompanies it is my chapter 10 title, Cheating and Adultery. And I think we don't talk about, we know it happens. I mean, we've seen movies. We're living in American culture and we're living in other cultures and we've seen it happen. Hey, we read the Old Testament and we know it happens, right? Nothing new, as King Solomon said, under the sun. But cheating and adultery are such incredible betrayals that happen in the church. And very specifically today, I am talking about the cheating and adultery from a minister in his marriage with his wife, and that was me. So I don't want to limit the audience today to just ministers and their wives, but because this is the Church Abused Coach podcast, the focus here is that, hey, out there, this is happening not only in the church, but it is happening by the folks who took a vow before the Lord, who were licensed to preach with some sort of denomination, who were ordained in some sort of process through a denomination, and still came out lacking. But hey, that's nothing new, right? Let's think Old Testament King David. Highest, what do we want to say, position, I guess, in the land would be the king. And we know what David did with Bathsheba and more, and how God had to judge that. But today I'd like to talk about how this happens in our churches, and use what I've written to talk about dealing with those things. So because I'm using the journal today, I have some questions for my audience. So I'm going to throw those out there and just add some silence. I'd like you to think through that, process through that. And of course, if you want to buy this journal to process some of these issues and write about them, because, you know, I am that English teacher with a writing background, and I'm always going to say rah, rah to using your words and using them on paper. Okay, so that kind of pain, when you find the betrayal, how would you explain it? How exactly does it hurt? What hurts? And then why would you say it hurts so intensely? Because obviously we've all done pain before, we've done all kinds of pains. By the time this particular one can happen in the chronology of our lives. But why does this one hurt so intensely? That's something to ponder. And another thing that I found with this situation, and I'm hoping that if you're listening out there and you feel these things, you recognize that Lori's talking to you and you're not alone. So I'm going to put myself out there with this one. I asked the question in the journal, do your cheeks burn with shame after you find out about your spouse's betrayal? Do your cheeks burn with shame? Because mine did. And then I have to wonder why. Why did I feel the shame? I was so embarrassed. I didn't commit the adultery, but I was the one who was so embarrassed. Did you ever feel that way? Well, and this isn't everybody, but a good many of us, especially because of our Christianity and because of our commitment to the Lord, we have returned. So if you're one of the people who has decided, hey, this really happened, but I want to work on my marriage, then this next item applies to you. So if you're anything like me, you return to your vows after the first betrayal. And here is a pointed question that we don't talk about and we need to. So how was that first sexual encounter with your spouse who betrayed you? What kind of war goes on in your mind as you try so hard to forget that he may just see the other girl and want the other girl? And how will you ever know? And then, if you're like me and you stay and you stay, what is it like in the years that follow after the second, the third, the fourth affair? And the greater question here might be, what happens to you? Who do you become? And what happens to you if you stay that long? And I know some people are saying, no way, Lori, listen, people do not stay for that long. That's crazy to stay through the second, the third, the fourth, but they do. There's a book that I would like to recommend that really was so insightful and so needed for me back in the day. And a shout out to my friend Christy, who first gave it to me. It's written by a man named Lundy Bancroft. It is called Why Does He Do That? Inside the Mind of Angry, Controlling Men. So that's the title, Lundy Bancroft's book, Why Does He Do That? So grab a copy of that, look at that, read through that. Oh my goodness. I used a pen, a highlighter, colored pencils. I wrote in the margins of that thing. I learned so much and appreciate that book so much. And that it's old, it's been out for a while, but if you can find healing from that, let's do it. What he writes about, and it's important, I think, to say that Lundy Bancroft is not a Christian writer. He actually was hired by the government to work with and do a study. I think, don't quote me on this, but I think his study took over a decade. He worked with convicted sex offenders, domestic violence people, etc. And his conclusions and the things that he learned in that amount of time, he writes in the foreword of the book. I learned so much, but I'm not the one who needs the information. It's the women out there who need it. And so grab a copy of that because Lundy Bancroft, first, I guess maybe validated some of my choices to stay and stay in the marriage and keep working on it and to understand why I would do that. So there are people like me. I know you're out there. And I think maybe even more so women of faith, because we want to believe and we know God can do anything. But I think where, what we have to tell ourselves is yes, darling, God can do anything, but God is never going to violate the free will of a spouse that doesn't want to be married. And essentially, what happens to us is we are married by ourselves. Let's say it again. We're married by ourselves. That's the name of my memoir. I later realized, wow, I've been cheerleading this thing. I've been wanting it to work, but I have been married by myself, which is a futile pursuit. A marriage by definition takes two people. So if you don't have two people committed, that's where this thing's fallen apart. So just so that you know out there, because I know a lot of mixed messages happen in Christianity, like divorce, you don't want to get divorced. You shouldn't get divorced. You can't get divorced. Varying degrees and levels of that exist in Christianity. And you have to know that you know that you know that you know that God has released you from expectation of staying there. So that's a very personal decision, but I want you to have some information about what options are and what is actually going on. And then I want to go into just one more thought from chapter 10 of Married by Myself, Journal to Healing. So I'm going to read this part. When I think of the depth of my ex-husband's betrayal, I must think of Judas Iscariot and Jesus. Judas, the betrayer, was one of only 12 people chosen to be a disciple. His position was rare, considering all the people Jesus could have chosen. Knowing that Judas would be disloyal, Jesus chose him anyway. What? Would I have ever chosen Doug, knowing for sure he would betray me? Nope. And Judas deceived the best person who ever lived with a kiss, marked him to die with that kiss. Oh, the irony, right? The irony. What evil. What incredible evil. So, how can thinking about that truth help you in your pain from the deceit or the betrayal that you have suffered? That's my question. And then I want to take you to, I don't want to just leave you there. I want to take you to a song because if you know my books or you've heard me speak, you know there's always a song because that's what God has always used to heal the girl, to grab me in my emotions and help me heal. So this song, I want to read some lyrics to you about what do we do? What do we do when we're in this situation? When we're in this Christian marriage, when we're in this betrayal moment and we reach out to the Lord. Well, that's it. I mean, that's what I would always say. Do not walk, just run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. And one of those ways is to find some song and some scripture. So I'm going to end today with talking about both of those things. And here's the song. It's written by, not written, recorded by Danny Gokey. And it is called Stand in Faith. And honestly, folks, I live 9.5 years in this marriage with the gaslighting going on. I was young. We had three beautiful children. I had my own career as a high school English teacher going on. We kept moving from state to state, church to church. All of this turmoil going on in my life and raising my beautiful children and wanting so much to keep my family together, to keep the team of Doug and I together for Jesus, for the cause of Christ. But I'm telling you, God is faithful. And in all of the pain for all of the years, God was faithful. And I found a song. and a scripture, and I ran to Christ to find the answer. So let me give you some of the lyrics from Danny Gokey's Stand in Faith. It begins with, "Can't escape disappointment." But let's stop right there. Okay, recognition. Can't escape disappointment. Can't avoid the delay. But I don't have to make feeling down and defeated the place that I stay. Now, folks, I'm talking to you inside the pain. Inside. Not just, oh, this awful thing is happening and I can't see straight. It's like, no, God, come with me. Come with me here in this moment of pain. So let's do these lyrics again. Thinking of that. Can't escape disappointment. Can't avoid the delay. But I don't have to make feeling down and defeated the place that I stay, that my soul stays. Gonna rise to the moment. Going to speak to the waves. Gonna push back that doubt that keeps dragging me down when I can't find a way. Don't need to see it to believe it. Before you even move, God, or before you make a way, I will stand in faith. Walk by faith. Live by faith. Ugh, I believe, I believe, I believe. Stand in faith. See by faith. Receive by faith. Oh, I believe. It's a season for healing. It's a season for change. And here we go. To see miracles happen that no one can fathom as heaven invades. Oh, I love that for you and for me forever, right? To see miracles happen that no one can fathom as heaven invades. Come on, heaven, bring it down. Bring down glory and power and grace and mercy and kindness and love in spite of the evil. Invade heaven. Please invade. It's more than a feeling, and it's anchored in praise. And when it's the darkest, it reaches the farthest and opens the way. God will do that for you, my friend. When it is the darkest and the evil reaches the farthest, God opens the way. God is so faithful. This is how blind men get their sight. This is how dead men start to rise. This is how small things multiply. Nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. This is where oceans have to part. This is where light cuts through the dark. This is where I see who you are. Nothing's impossible. Nothing is impossible. Friends, we stand in faith. And sometimes in that faith, we say, God, my situation is impossible. My situation is impossible. I mean, what am I going to do? I'm the pastor's wife. For me, I'm the pastor's wife. I think my husband is committing adultery with a 17-year-old girl. I don't have proof. I think it's happening. I mean, what should I do? I've already tried to talk to him. Should I follow him? Should I get a private eye? Should I like not go to work? Should I put the kids to bed early? I don't know what to do. And when we don't know what to do, then we stand on the word of God and we stand in the faith that we have, that God is faithful and he will provide the way. So that is the song I would like to leave with you today in thinking about cheating and betrayal. And then I would like to bring you this scripture, because after the songs, which I always say, make sure they are doctrinally correct. You know, I'm gonna get all doctrine crazy with some words to a piece of music, but make sure that it aligns with the word of God, because the word of God is what we stand on. That music always grabs us in our hearts. And I want to read to you the scripture that I stand on, and that we all stand, excuse me, that we all stand on. Galatians 5, 19 through 23. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, here comes your good news, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5, 19 through 23. Thank you, the Apostle Paul, for listing out the raw truth of the evil that we are capable of experiencing, capable of even doing. But then there is the Spirit of God. So we don't just end with the raw truth, like I always say on this podcast. There is a raw truth, and we need to say it out loud, and we need to see it, and we need to make this stop the secrecy in the church that just sweeps these kinds of uncomfortable situations under the rug for whatever reason that happens. We need to be able to say it, to see it, to admit it. Bring that darkness into the light where it can be healed and where we can find the healing, right? As one of the pillars of this podcast, we break our silence, we find our healing, and we live victorious anyway. Amen.